Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Yusuf, I feel like I'm holding you back from a breaking story somewhere in South Africa. I know people are marching. You're probably itching to be on the scene and doing the whole mojo thing right now. But thank you for taking a bit of time out of your day.
Thanks for having me. It's fantastic to be here.
It's very cool to have you. Let's just break it down. You're a mobile journalist. It says here Mojo. You're South Africa's lead Mojo. A lot of people don't even know what this is. Yusuf, what's happening?
Okay, so Mojo has nothing to do with Austin Powers. It's not like, yeah, baby, I've lost my mojo. It's mobile journalism.
Yeah.
And that's twofold. That's firstly producing content using a cell phone. And I'm going to put a challenge out here right now. I'm going to say by the end of this little show in the next 20 minutes, give me 4 or 5 minutes and I'll have some video footage up on our Twitter so you can see just how fast mobile journalism is. That's one half of it. The other half is producing content made for mobile devices, very much like Cliff Central.
Listen, dude, it's such a new space, but it makes so much sense when you actually think about it in terms of where the world's going and how it's moving. For you, what do you get out of doing this, though? Because you're unbelievably passionate about it. What's the payoff for you?
Well, for me, it started with a numbers game. You only have to look at South Africa and appreciate that 133% of South Africans have mobile phones. There's more mobile phones than there are people. So to try and be chasing the television market doesn't necessarily make sense to us anymore. Even if we look at our Facebook viewers, for example, there's 10 million South Africans on Facebook. 1 in 5 South Africans are using Facebook. That's far more viewers than have DSTV or satellite television. That's where your numbers are at. So that's what's really driven it. And it's exciting for me because we're almost playing on the audience's scale now. They're using cell phones to tell their stories. They're sharing stuff online. We're coming down to that level and we're saying, actually, we can play in that space too.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, someone listening to this right now is thinking about what their relationship with their smartphone is. They're probably using it to check out Twitter every now and then, using it to get a little Cliff Central, Googling stuff. Tell me about your relationship with your smartphone. Hypothetically, if you were on Facebook and it said Yusuf's in a relationship with his smartphone, how would you describe the relationship?
It's an intimate relationship. It goes off into all hours because that's the thing about cellular technology. If you look at television, it's a laid-back medium, we call it, where you lie back on your chair and you watch something. Online is a lean-forward medium. You're engaging with content on your laptop. Cell phones are everywhere. You'll be lying in bed engaging with it. You'll be sitting on your sofa. It's a space where people are continually having a dialogue, but it's not as easy as radio or television because people have to go to your content. They have to click on your link. We're not broadcasting in a traditional realm.
And this is where it gets really competitive because there is so much stuff out there. I mean, we just have to look at the fees must fall sort of hashtag and movement, which ENC have done an amazing job in terms of tracking and explaining to people how it rolled out on social media. But one of the big tricks with that was to curate the stuff that was worthwhile being seen. And a lot of people were just, you know, logged onto Twitter. They saw everybody tweeting about it. But how do you get that voice that is the most serious or the one that's, you know, taken the best by the people and the one that people seek out?
Absolutely. And that's really where the media industry is heading to. We're playing less of a role on the ground, getting the footage, and more doing that, assessing the social media landscape and saying,
curating
okay,
it. Yeah.
Curating. And I don't know if you watched the documentary 11 Minutes. It was called Africa's a Country. They did it on The Fees Must Fall. They produced it like 3 days after the event took place. And they basically curated a whole bunch of videos from across the country into one documentary. And it just goes to show that since 9/11, since the Twin Towers have fallen, the media have seldomly, if ever, been the first to get to a story. It's been citizen reporting that's been driving it. And now we're really trying to improve that citizen journalism. So if we're going to get content in, let's make it good enough for broadcast journalism. Let's offer a few tips and tricks so that it can go from just a snapshot to actual storytelling.
So is this the sweet spot then that a mojo would hit in terms of, you know, being able to tell a story properly and then being on the scene and able to sort of curate the stuff that other people are seeing as well and put it into, you know, an instantaneous package?
Absolutely. If you're shooting on a mobile device, you're also thinking about how a mobile viewer would want to view it. You're like, okay, it should be quite short because I don't have a lot of data. Actually, the subtitles should be pretty big, especially if you're watching it on Facebook where you often don't have audio unless you click on it. You start thinking in that frame of mind. But of course, at the end of the day, it's a cost proposition as well. I mean, we are looking at, I'm not saying that it's hashtag cameraman must fall. It's not that at all. But we're looking at R500,000 for a traditional camera kit. Yeah. And that's not to mention salaries, not to mention the video editor. Whereas an iPhone might be an expensive phone, 15,000-16,000 rand, but it's a very, very cheap video device. And it's very fast. We get content out. If I'm at the EFF March in Sandton right now, I'll have it sent back to the office, edited, before we can even drive back to the office.
What's really interesting, though, is that creatives by nature, or people in film and filmmakers, are a little bit pedantic and a little bit... they find it difficult to let the stuff go into the world. They want it to be perfect. I mean, you think of a director of photography. They want to sit and reshoot something 150 times. So what role are they going to play 10, 20 years from now when it's about stuff being instantaneous?
Exactly. We live in the YouTube generation. We've never been more forgiving of bad audio, bad light, shaky footage. That's in at the moment.
So the Oscars are done.
There's definitely a place for your DOPs of the world who are going to manicure their shot and have the well-lit scenario. But I think viewers are increasingly looking for real. They want unedited. They want content that comes out of a scenario very quickly. They appreciate that raw, organic nature of it. But of course, it comes with huge limitations too. As you know, at Cliff Central, data is still prohibitively expensive in South Africa, and that's constantly going to be a challenge for us.
I wonder if we overestimate it, though, sometimes. Because at the end of the day, if people want something, they will go out and they'll get it. You know, with music, if you wanted the new Adele CD 10 years ago, you would have gotten into your car, driven to a mall, and you would have bought the CD. At the end of the day... this whole sort of catchphrase of content is king, is it true? It is kind of true, right?
Absolutely. And we're seeing so many companies that are, you would think of as traditionally other businesses that are going into content. You only have to look at Red Bull. Red Bull are a content production company. They film a lot of stuff. If we look at GoPro as well, they're as much involved in selling GoPros as they are in shooting content and selling footage. So content really is king. And it's becoming, as you know, the big buzzword in the industry at the moment is content marketing.
Yeah.
And that's really going to be the big thing in media too. How do we get a brand? I don't want to mention any brands because they're not paying us to, but how do we get a brand to sponsor a story but still maintain editorial integrity? The New York Times have managed to do it pretty well, and that's why their website is financially successful. Because at the end of the day, that's the big hiccup that we're all falling under. Mobile journalism is cool. Online is cool, but we're struggling to find revenue channels.
Let's bring it back to basics. All right, I'm sitting here. I'm going to take my iPhone. I'm looking at it right now. And I want to retrain what I'm going to get out of this iPhone. There's also some gadgets that you've brought that are going to make me get more out of this iPhone. I'm sitting here with this iPhone. I want to be better at this whole mojo thing, better at being a mobile journalist. Something might happen in my street and I might want to be able to report on it. How do I get better?
Okay. So let's start off by, here's at the top of a selfie stick. Selfie sticks go for what, 20, 30 rand? Just slip that onto your phone.
All right, this is the holder for the phone.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Just the top of the selfie stick, the plastic bit that holds your phone into place. Now you've essentially got a rig. On that rig, you can add a tripod. So if I hand you this little tripod, it's the kind of device that you could, it's got a grip, so you can put it around a pole, you can put it onto a desk.
It's squiggly,
It's squiggly, but it also functions as a handle. You'll notice holding a cell phone on either side of it is not the most intuitive way to hold something steady. But if you've got a handle, you're suddenly far more stable.
Okay, got it.
Now, the most important part of mobile journalism that people are struggling with is audio. Of course, when you watch television, when you watch videos, you're really watching with your ears. The most important thing is to get some sort of a mic.
Okay.
So you can get simple, what we call XLR converters, which will take your conventional broadcast mic and plug it into a cell phone. Of course, you can get into lighting and these sorts of things, but if the light is that bad that you need lighting, you probably shouldn't be shooting with a cell phone anyway. But the thing that people should understand is cell phone journalism is not like amateur. It's not like this thing you do on the side. Just this year alone, we've been to New York and we interviewed Jacob Zuma on a cell phone. We interviewed Trevor Noah for the
Daily Show,
The Daily Show on a cell phone. Not just that, even breaking news. Of course, you remember the BDS Virgin story? Shot on a cell phone.
Well, listen, I was watching, and as a lot of people might have seen, your interview with Adam Habib walking out of the ENCA studios in the parking lot, again, on a cell phone. You were holding a selfie stick, and you plugged a microphone in. Tell me about making it good, though, and making it matter. And that's where the punch in terms of what your content is has to come in, because you can't record something for 15 minutes and dwell on the same topic. The same rules that apply to journalists in terms of making it, you know, quick and short and snappy and to the point still apply in this space, right?
So what we've been finding is when we do these selfie stick interviews, such as the Vice Chancellor Adam Habib, they're far less intimidated than they are with a big camera around somebody's shoulder with a big light. Mm. And they sort of, for lack of a better word, tend to speak the truth. They think they're in a conversation with a friend. You're walking and talking. And we really saw that come out when we headed to the Drakensberg Mountains with a group of people who had been sexually abused. And we were climbing the mountains, and they used the mountains as a metaphor to overcome their sexual abuses. And it would have been structurally too difficult to carry a camera up, but it also would have been too in your face to be like, oh, tell me about how you were raped with a big camera in your face. Whereas a cell phone was far more discreet. It was far more intimate. It allowed people to draw their stories out in a far, far greater way than I've ever experienced with traditional broadcast cameras.
Let's take this word authenticity and throw it into the mix. So Instagram, perhaps not the best example of authenticity because you're putting stuff on and you're filtering it and you're making yourself look a million and one different ways. But authenticity at the end of the day is what's going to differentiate your stuff, right?
True and not true. I think Instagram, Snapchat, these all are massive, massive platforms that we need to be playing on. I mean, CNN are working on Snapchat at the moment.
Yeah.
We are now looking at a generation of people between the ages of 15 and 35 that are not receiving their news on these mediums, on Instagram, on Vine. So we need to start packaging stories around that. How do we tell a story in 30 seconds? How do we tell a story on Vine in 6 seconds? That's how immediate it is, because people's attention spans are short. As a general rule, the smaller the screen is, the shorter the story must be. Authenticity is a difficult one because we're receiving so much crowdsourced content these days. And that's really going to be the task. I mean, algorithms can only go so far in disseminating what is real and what isn't. But what they can do is tell us there's 10,000 tweets coming from Rivonia about EFF. Therefore, the EFF must be in Rivonia. Mm. So a lot of the job can be done by complex software. But at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of people on computers trying to work out what's good and what's not.
Yeah, you speak about that quite a bit in your journalism story published in the Rhodes Journalism Review. There's also some unbelievable tips that you give in there in terms of, you know, making it punchy and making it quirky and finding your mojo and figuring out what it is that you want to say.
Yeah, so as you would know, as an anchor of a radio show, it's not an easy industry to get into media. So my actual advice there is to do something crazy. For me, that was hitchhiking from Durban to Damascus in Syria, up East Africa for many months, telling stories. But you've got to do something insane that's going to get your name out there. Mm. But something insane within a journalistic capacity. Don't jump off a bridge as somebody...
With a reason, yeah.
With a reason, with a cause, with a purpose. That's going to get attention. That's what's going to get you're trending on social media, and that's what's going to get the eyes of potential employers.
Yeah, you also speak a lot about, you know, being a self-promoter, which comes with doing the crazy stuff. How do you get bigger on Twitter? How do you get bigger on these social media networks when there's so many different voices out there?
It's such a careful navigating act, isn't it? Because we keep experiencing new ones all the time. We're now hearing that Twitter is on the downfall.
Yeah.
We're now hearing that Instagram and even LinkedIn, which is probably the most unattractive social media platform in the world.
But it works so well.
Having said that, we've still got the same jobs we do, so it can't be working that well. But it's about navigating through these quickly. I'm trying to get into Snapchat, and I find Snapchat awfully difficult because Snapchat, you don't have a particular list of followers.
Yeah.
So how do people know how influential you are? And then you find out it's actually not about that. It's about a continuous monologue story, of stuff. Yeah. This is what I had for breakfast, blah, blah, blah. People care about that stuff, and you need to keep feeding this animal. But the point is to make it not a job. It has to be part of your life. Mm. It has to be intrinsically part of everything you do. And that's why when we're looking for mobile journalists, it's so important to find people that are doing it anyway. Even if we weren't paying them, they would still be shooting on their cell phones.
Because the fundamental, I mean, you know, in your case, is that you actually do care about the student protests. The medium that you're using to tell that story, though, is just through a mobile phone and tracking it in that way. But the fundamental is that you actually do care about that. It's not that you care about the Grammys or whatever it is. You care specifically about that.
And that's the beauty of mobile journalism and journalism as a whole. It's about trying to pair your passions, your interests, and the sorts of niches that you'd be in, otherwise known as beats, with what you'd be doing for a living. And if you can pair those two, then it doesn't feel like work at all, does it?
Tell me about this line, everything is a story.
So literally everything is a story. When I got proposed at the end of the Comrades Marathon, I got down on one knee. That became a story. You have to make...
And his beautiful wife is sitting. He's given her the phone. She's got to do the whole shooting thing.
She's
doing
the mojo as we speak. Yeah, she's the unsung hero. Absolutely. You've got to make everything a story. If you're going on holiday and you're going to, say, Egypt, and you're checking out the pyramids, why not do a story on Egypt after three different revolutions and whether it's changed? You're already there. You're already probably talking to young people. Mm. So monopolize on the opportunities that you already have. If you're going on holiday to the Drakensberg Mountains, do a little color piece for the local newspapers. Make the most of every opportunity you have. Even if you're driving from Durban to Joburg in the Easter weekend, people care about the road accidents. They care about the prevalence of police and ambulances. There are stories in every facet of your life. It's just being able to tell it on a daily basis.
Yusuf, what does your world look like in 5 years from now? What kind of world do you think you're going to be living in?
I think we are going to be surrounded by storytellers. Given the fact that I told you that 136% of South Africans have cell phones and they're increasingly moving to smartphones, we're going to have more media and more content than we've ever had before. You're already seeing it when you get an increasing amount of crazy CCTV footage or funny stuff that's happening. That's just going to explode.
Mm.
We're going to basically have so much content. It's sort of a contradiction, because on one front, people are saying, oh, the media industry is a terrible place to be in right now. Jobs are shedding and we don't know where it's going. But at the same time, we've got more content than we know what to do with.
Mm.
It's really going to be deciphering what's authentic, as you say. And trying to make a name for yourself in an industry which potentially has no gates anymore, which anybody can access.
Yeah.
The guy sitting at home in his underpants on YouTube is just as prominent as Cliff or anybody else for that matter. So the competition's greater than ever
before. Yeah, it's Casper Lee making more money than anybody.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Listen, dude, ENCA are doing something really, really cool at the moment, looking for 12 mobile journalists. You got a really funny promo out. Producer Cat pulled up a little bit of audio out of that. Obviously, you shot the whole promo on cell phones as well. Sounds a little like this.
Hey, you. Stalking your ex on Facebook? Can you get social media trending like hashtag BieberWiener? If so, we want you to join ENCA Bootcamp. Crazy things are happening in the media industry, and we need 12 young people to drive our mojo.
Oh, groovy, baby.
And there you are, making the Austin Powers reference. But talk to me about this project and how people can get involved.
So wasn't that groovy, baby? It was groovy. So basically, we realized that, like, if we look at ENCA.com, 40% of the people that are on there are between the ages of 15 and 35.
Cool.
But are we talking their language? I don't think so. I think we're talking to a 40-year-old man. Like, it needs to change. We can't keep
it's
taking...
It's very solid and news anchory.
Yes,
yeah.
I am Jeremy Maggs, and I'm here to deliver the news.
Well, in fact, we want to make it a little bit more relevant, a little bit younger, a little bit hipper. And that's why we're looking for 12 young people from all facets. They don't have to be journalists. I want graphic designers, illustrators, guys who are data gurus, people who are good at web design. I'm talking like an all-star team of young people who are going to drive mojo, mobile journalism, not just creating content on their phone, but creating content for mobile devices. I think there's a huge space in that market. I think young people want information, but they don't necessarily want those like structured head and shoulder interviews. They want to know in 1 minute, here's what you need to know about Kasatu right now. Here's why EFF are marching. So that essentially they can watch it on their cell phones and go to a braai or go down to the bar for drinks and
be informed,
but also engaged. We spend all of our time talking about editorial, what's going to be in the story, but we don't spend enough time talking about engagement.
Mm.
What kind of conversations are we going to spring? How are people going to share the story? Because if we go back to revenue, essentially online, on mobile, is about getting enough viewers, not just today, not just tomorrow, but 2 years from now. They should be clicking on that same link 2 years from now. And to do that, we need to focus on engagement, get people continually liking it. That's the challenge.
So how do we get involved? Who do we speak to here?
So ENCA.com/bootcamp. You fill out a little application form, and then we've got an assignment. Basically, they've got to produce a video about how digital is impacting their community. I'm not saying that they have to do it on a cell phone, but we certainly did our promo video on a cell phone just to show what is possible.
And it's paid as well, this.
But yeah, it's a paid position. It's a year long. And we want them to create that video, and then we want to see how they get it trending, because that's important to us. We want to see, are they big engagers? Are they going to be able to disseminate this information? Are they going to spread it on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and have a different strategy for each one, instead of coming up with a TV story and putting it on a cell phone screen?
It's fantastic. What you're doing is fantastic. This is why you're South Africa's lead mojo, South Africa's lead mobile journalist, Yusuf Omar. What's the most important thing that we can learn from you on a Tuesday afternoon?
The most important
thing... Give me the power line.
It's quite simple. The power is in your pocket. You don't need any of this gear. You don't need the tripod. You don't need the lights. You don't need the sound. You just need your imagination. Literally. And look around you. Your domestic worker has a story to tell. The guy who is cleaning your car and is from Zimbabwe and is a migrant has a story to tell. Just open your eyes. Yeah. And stories are all around us in South Africa. There's no easier country in the world to be a journalist.
Fantastic. So beautifully articulated. That's a Yusuf Omar there, filmmaker and broadcast journalist at E! News Channel Africa. It's enca.com/bootcamp to find out more about how you could become ENCA's next mojo. And it's at Yusuf Omar SA on Twitter, right?
That's absolutely right. I look forward to hearing from your viewers.
Fantastic. So cool hanging out. Yusuf Omar there.
Hillman on cliffcentral.com.